The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Fact and fiction.
Mr. Spock, Klingon. The Kronos Klingon planet has catastrophic anthropogenic global warming. Shall we proceed in beaming them off the planet?
Ground Zero.
Fascinating.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on Southern Oregon's home for conservative talk. Mornings on KMED at 99.3 KBXG. Call Bill at 770-5633. That's 770-KMED. Here's Bill Myers.
Welcome to Wheels Up Wednesday. 10 minutes after 6, it is Wednesday, October 9th. 54 degrees. Not quite as warm as yesterday. Getting back to some more normal temps over the next few days. And I hope you're doing well. Join the conversation here at 770-5633, 770-KMED. You know, the latest forecast out of Florida this morning, Hurricane Milton could be looking at winds of 155 miles per hour on the high side. Storm surges of 15 feet, which means if your house is on the ground, the water completely goes over your house. Yeah, it's a big deal. My daughter's in the path of that. My daughter and Jake and Sarah, you know, you want to talk about timing, right? Talk about timing. Jake and Sarah, my daughter Sarah, bought a house in Palm Bay, Florida. Remember I told you a few months ago they had moved from Portland to Florida, I think down in Tampa Bay, and then they decided, well, of course, Tampa Bay is not a great place to be right now either. And so they had new construction, bought a new house in Florida for a lot less than I think than what they could have spent in Portland, you know, to get the same thing. So they built a new house. They moved in last Friday, and Hurricane Milton coming today. And I got in touch with her last night, and I haven't heard from her this morning. But I said, well, have you evacuated? Because Palm Bay is in the path. It's on the eastern side of Florida, on the eastern coast of that, or near the eastern coast. It's a little bit inland. So she's not on the ocean front, which is a good thing. I never think it's a great idea to live on the ocean front in hurricane zones when it comes right down to it. But so I was just wondering what she was up to. I hadn't heard. And they have been putting in supplies and getting ready, and they're just going to ride it out. They're just going to ride it out. And the hope at this point is that the hurricane, by the time it hits Palm Bay, will be down to a Category 2. So still very high winds, but they're thinking it will end up losing energy as it goes over land. It's the western side of Florida that is going to be pounded the hardest. At least at this point in time, this is what they're saying. And I said, well, we really couldn't get a cell phone call in. We were going with text messaging at this point. And if you saw some of the reports yesterday, people trying to get fuel, just a mess, right? And I said, are you evacuating? And she told me, no, there are no hotels available anywhere. And Jake's parents went to Nashville. We had left behind the key. So we're just going to do the Florida Strong thing. And the hope is that it'll be a Category 2 once it passes us. Our house is not in a flood zone, as well as our yard. So they have a considerable grade that helps them. And what Sarah and Jake are thinking at this point is that we're probably going to be without power for a good long time. But Jake is a native Floridian, so he's pretty much... you know, with him, it's no big deal, even though this is a big deal. But needless to say, she's concerned, and we're all concerned. And we'll, you know, as you said, you know, at this point, there is really no place to go. No place to go, and no, they're there. And so they're just going to ride it out. And their house has the hurricane shutters and everything else. And I'll keep you in the loop. I'll tell you what happens. And I haven't heard from her this morning, but I don't know what the status of the cell networks is at this point. And it's... like I said, communication and power was out for a lot of times, internet out other times. It's already it's starting to get a little bit windy there. But like I said, she lives in Palm Bay, not on the ocean, but close enough. But it's on the eastern side of Florida. So hopefully she's going to be okay. Yikes. Okay. If you have anything to add to that, too, maybe you have a relative or two. You know, tell us your story. That'd be fine. I told you about my relative, right? my daughter and her guy, Jake and Sarah. 770-563-3770-KMED. 2 days in a row, I actually start the show, or at least early in the show, talking about Kamala Harris, which is not normally the high point of my life, talking about Kamala Harris. I think she's kind of a political infection that's best to ignore, but I guess you really can't. She went on The View yesterday. She went on The View yesterday and had something really interesting. I mean, she answered some really, really, really tough questions, which, of course, nobody ever says about The View, okay? But do you think that she got rid or killed her candidacy with this particular comment? Because remember, Kamala Harris has presented herself. In fact, I was even reading a news release. Kamala Harris presenting herself as a change agent, as the change agent. With this comment on The View, has she killed her candidacy? Is it over?
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
I wouldn't have changed a thing. Wouldn't have changed a thing. And you're presenting yourself to the voters, to the Democrat voters, Democrat supporters, as I wouldn't have changed a thing, but yet I'm going to be the change, moving it forward. Moving it forward to what? You know, exactly. I thought that was an interesting thing. Do you think that she hurt herself with that particular statement? Or will most of the people who watch The View just consider the source? Or if you're watching The View, you're an idiot anyway. I don't know. Maybe that's the case. Donald Trump did come up near the end of it. I thought this was interesting. And this was Donald, who was criticizing money going to Lebanon, aid to Lebanon, and when they had difficulty getting money and aid over to, you know, what's going on in North Carolina, Hurricane Helene, recovery there. And this is where this came up.
It's profound, and it is the height of irresponsibility and, frankly, callousness. So lives are literally at stake right now. Uh-huh. And the idea that somebody would be playing political games for the sake of himself, but this is so consistent about Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. He puts himself before the needs of others. I fear that he really lacks empathy.
Okay, so Donald Trump is the danger because he lacks empathy because he's concerned about North Carolinians. In other words, actual Americans over what's happening in Lebanon or Israel or anywhere else in the Middle East. You know, he's more concerned about the American citizens rather than foreign citizens. And this is somehow playing politics. Just astounds me. And this is also coming from the same person who wouldn't have done anything different. Remember, she, let me just play this back just so you remember. I just want to make sure you hear this.
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
So think about that. Next time someone says that they want to vote for Kamala Harris because she's the change agent, she wouldn't have changed a thing. Remember the 25% more that you're paying in the grocery stores this year? That, of course, says she says, oh, well, yeah, we're going to do something about that, but she wouldn't have changed a thing. Why do you suppose that? 18 after 6, this is the Bill Myers Show. Did Kamala hurt herself on that one, or are the supporters that would go after her anyway not even grasp that? I don't know. What do you think? I'm happy to take your call, 770-5633. Other news coming up here. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Out of sight, out of mind, right? Don't let that be the case as you prioritize your home repair projects. Terra Firma Foundation Systems reminds you, while you can't typically see your home's foundation, it's critical to the stability and strength of your home. Even if you never peek in your crawl space, it's impacting the health of your home. Those out-of-sight areas need to be on your mind. Foundation and moisture issues only get worse and more costly over time. But Terra Firma can help. Terra Firma keeps homes safe, dry, and stable. Click GoTerraFirma.com. CCB 173547.
Jackson County, your vote counts. You can check and update your registration, if necessary, by visiting OregonVotes.gov/myvote. Know when your ballot arrives at your mailbox by signing up at informdelivery.usps.com.
Hello, I'm Chris Walker, your Jackson County Clerk. For more information, visit jacksoncountyor.gov/elections. your county clerk's office, making sure your vote counts.
Your smile is the key to your health and confidence. Did you also know that research has concluded people have almost as much fear about finding a new dentist as they do about going to the dentist? Hi, I'm Dr. Robert Johnson, and here at Dental Excellence, we value the confidence and trust our patients have in us. My 20 years of experience and thorough training equals comprehensive dental care. From creating that perfect filling or doing that perfect root canal in my dental microscope to restoring a patient's confidence with implant-supported dentures, we can do it all here at Dental Excellence. For those who need, I am highly trained and certified in IV sedation and the art of creating a comfortable, relaxed, stress-free environment. Are you looking for friendly, compassionate, personal care? Come and join our excellent dental family.
Call 541-779-6170 today for a free consultation. Dental Excellence.
Dental Excellence. Changing lives, one smile at a time.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone with Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on KMED.
21 after 6, 770-5633, the number to join the show anytime you feel like that. Eric Peters is going to be joining me after 6:30. And when you call, that's to talk to Eric Peters after 6:30. You know, we get that. And lots of transportation news, rather, that we're going to be talking about. Yesterday, the Supreme Court of the United States ended up having oral arguments in a Supreme Court case with the Biden administration about a Biden administration rule against so-called ghost guns. Ghost guns, of course, are guns that Americans always were able to make since the beginning. And we haven't even had serial numbers on guns since, what, the late 1960s? We're supposed to forget these kind of things. But the whole idea is, should people that are shipping gun parts, should those be considered firearms, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There were some really interesting arguments about that. Kevin Starrett from Oregon Firearms Federation and I will have conversation and analysis on that. Democrats are getting all hissy-fitty in Joe County. We'll get the latest on that for Herman Bertschiger, Josephine County Commissioner, and he has a bit of commentary on that too. And we're also going to be talking with an organization that is hoping to get better quality fresh food farm to school in Jackson County. We'll talk with them. In fact, Philip Yates, who used to be with Access years ago, and I would be talking with him all the time. He'd come in for the food drives and things. He's retired, but he's working in this particular group. I'll tell you, he just can't stay out of it. I saw him when I was at by Costco the other day, and I said, hey, it's Philip Yates. I haven't seen Philip in ages. And so, yeah, we'll talk with him and also the CEO of the organization coming up. Should be a good talk about that. All right. Some of the other news going on here. Daily Courier reporting that the Medford School District launching a survey to get input from students, parents, and staff on the cell phone policy. Monday, Brett Champion, superintendent, and the chair of the school board, they held a press conference to introduce the survey. Runs from right now until the 1st of November. What is the best way to manage cell phones and other electronic devices in our school? Should the policies be stricter? Pending survey comes amid renewed scrutiny over cell phones and the toll they take place on academic performance and mental health. I agree with certainly the problem. I imagine you would, too. I don't know how I would have performed it. I mean, I was a pretty good student for the most part until I discovered girls in the final year of senior high school, then I kind of collapsed a bit. That's another story. But needless to say, I was always pretty good at academics and things, but I didn't have all those distractions. I didn't. There wasn't something that was always binging and bonging and, you know, giving me a dopamine hit, right? And so the system's looking at this. Currently, cell phones not allowed in Medford classrooms unless an instructor allows it for certain activities. High schools, middle schools, and elementary schools have different procedures, fully powering down the phones, putting them away for the day, or keeping them out of sight, but allowed for certain instructional purposes. You know, where do you think that should go? I know that Lars was talking about that. There was a district up north that was having this conversation about putting them into the sealed bags and then taking them out. And then Lars was kind of making the case. And Lars and I agree on a lot of things, but I don't know if I agreed with Lars in this particular one, because if you're saying, well, we should be teaching the students' responsibilities about this, and then you just have strict rules, and then, you know, if they break the rules, then they lose the phone, et cetera, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I don't know. I think, yeah, I take my cell phone everywhere, but you will also not see me walking around with my head in it all day. I look at it as a tool, and I don't really see much purpose of the cell phone as a tool in the educational environment at this point. And it seems to me, if I'd had that phone back when I was a kid, I probably would have never put it down. I would have been just as addicted as everyone else. I think. At some point, I think they just need to be. I just think they need to be cell phone free. Okay, cell phone free zones. I just think that's just my personal opinion. I think the addiction potential is just too great on that. Ideally, yeah, it would be nice to teach responsibility. But I would venture a guess that the kids' parents are just as bad. In fact, I'd almost bet you that many of the younger parents are more irritated with the, you know, the cell phone bans or the cell phones not being used than the kids are. And how did we ever get to this point that somehow you had to have contact, the ability to contact your child at all times, no matter what, wherever? Never get that. That's almost a cultural sickness, isn't it? We can talk about that if you wish to. 770-5633. I head to the phones here. Always happy to take them early. See who's there. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. Oh, my gosh. Cell phones. How about no.
Just no. Okay.
I think that they should not allow any cell phones in any grades lower than high school. There was a thing called the telephone when a parent needed to get a hold of their child or the teacher, or the principal, whoever needed to get a hold of the parent. You don't learn to be social as a kid because they are on their phones. I think when they get to high school, a lot of kids have jobs by then. A lot of kids have, you know, can learn easier being almost adult how to.
Okay, where would you say the cutoff though? What would you say the cutoff when you say high school? I don't look at a freshman in high school as all that different from an eighth grader. You know, you're 1 year apart.
If you were a junior. Once you turn to a junior, because then I'm not junior. Sorry.
So you think in junior, senior, that would be the cutoff for you?
Yes, because a lot of those kids by then are, you know, some of them are working. Mm-hmm. But as far as them being allowed to carry their phones, they should not be allowed to bring their phones to school. Sorry, that's how I feel.
Okay. All right. So no phones in the school then.
No.
I know that you're going to have some people that are saying, well, what about if there were dangers and emergencies? And then, you know, we had these situations like there's, you know, you have the mass shooter is coming. And we can't communicate with anybody that way. What would you say?
Right. Okay. So there used to be an intercom system in the classrooms back in my day. If there was some kind of emergency, they already are doing lockdowns in the classrooms. Mm-hmm. I think the teacher should be allowed to have a cell phone in the room.
Oh, okay.
If there's an emergency, the teacher can use their cell phone. And media relies on so many videos and cell phones, which I think is great. They're trying to catch the bad guy. But I think the teacher should be the only one in the classroom under 11th grade to have a cell phone.
Okay. That would be interesting. Do you have any children in this district?
Oh, hell no. My kids are 40, so...
Oh, okay, all right. Well, I never asked you how old you were, so just curious.
Well, I'll be 60 in December, and I am so thankful that I do not have to raise children in this day and age. It's changed the values, the respect, the just everything has changed. And I think a lot of it has to do with the cell phones.
Yeah.
We have replaced the parents with cell phones.
Okay. I appreciate your call. Thanks for making that. All right. 770-5633. Yeah. Medford 549C doing a survey looking for public input on cell phone policy. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome. Hello?
Dave, how are you?
Yeah, hi, Dave. How are you? What's going on with your world, huh?
Well, I thought it was interesting that you brought this topic up when I just heard that Oregon was one of the, 18 states suing TikTok for destroying, you know, the brains of our youth.
Yeah.
And now this has come up. Look, Bill, you said something incredibly sensible a couple minutes ago, and you're a sensible person. I know that.
What's that?
I mean, but we're adults. But you mentioned that the cell phone is a tool. Believe it or not, I have two cell phones. I have my own. I have one that's provided for me by my company. I have iPads, laptop, and I use it I use those things only as much as, you know, I need to, because I don't like it, really, at the end of the day. It's kind of overwhelming. And it would be nice if by the time a kid got into high school, you know, that we could teach them that. It's like, look, this is a tool. Here are the proper times to use it and not, you know. And that would be nice, but I'll be honest with you. I just think that ship has sailed.
You do,
you know. I think these kids, you know, are just glued to these things.
And by the way, I do not blame these kids, because I get it. It's electronic crack, Dave. It really is.
Well, look, Bill, I read an article not long ago by a doctor, and he said, like, this is why we're seeing, you know, this is one of the reasons why we're seeing younger generations who just can't cope. They don't know how to form relationships. They don't know how to interact with people. They don't know how to solve problems.
I'm sorry. What did you say? I was talking over you. I want to hear that last part.
I said, well, look, they have everything at their fingertips. And then when you get into real life, you got to solve problems and you got to interact with people and you got to have a relate, you know, and some kids, when they don't, when they can't get that immediate answer, that means it creates anger. Okay. And we have a huge anger problem, you know, with a lot of people, but especially with the younger generations, because they're not learning the building blocks of life, you know, because they have, you know, there's everything is at, you know, their fingertips, and everything's at, and that, you know, it doesn't happen with every kid, obviously, but yeah, that can be incredibly dangerous. And I'm just wondering when, you know, or if or when the whole, you know, if the pendulum's actually going to swing back to the point where people are like, you know, I hate this crap.
Yeah, well, we already have some younger generation folks, some Gen Zs and millennial types that are saying, you know, that are going back to flip phones. They're looking for less interruption. Some are actually starting to recognize that this is not necessarily adding to their day. It's like, yeah, I want to be able to communicate, but I don't want it. I don't want to have the dopamine hit, you know, binging and bonging and notifications every 20 seconds. Yeah. And by the way, I've had to mute friends of mine, Dave, people that, you know, get in touch with me, because they'll sit around there all day and text message stuff to one another, and they'll include me on things that really could just as easily be sent on an email, and I take a look at it when I want to. But no, you have to pay attention to it right now. You know,
You're like, take me off the chain,
yeah,
please. But every time I see these ads for like the new iPhone or something like that, and they keep adding stuff, I'm like, my God, you know, it's like, it's the technology is amazing. How can they keep adding all these things that it does, and it still doesn't get any bigger? But anyway, and I wanted to say one thing about Kamala Harris.
Sure.
I think their internal polling might is telling them something. Because now she's out there, but, I mean, come on, you're preaching to the choir. I mean, where she go? Howard Stern, Colbert, uh-huh, The View. I mean, God, that 60 Minutes thing could have been like a layup, okay? I mean, and she's still muffed
But she still muffed
up.
It. So, yeah, so, she still screwed it up, and yeah, it's just it. Their polling must not be that good, I would guess, or they're not seeing good things.
Look, here's a person that cannot really think or communicate extemporaneously. I mean, she just can't. I mean, it's been proven over and over and over and over again. And so, you know, either it's highly rehearsed, or, you know, she has to have a teleprompter. But the real bottom line is you asked the question. Nothing that they're doing right now is going to surprise me. I think anybody that heard that comment that you played, yeah, anybody like me is going to be like, look, that's a crock of baloney.
Yeah, nothing new, nothing to see.
All the people who are okay with it have been okay for the last 4 years going, oh, yeah, this is great, Biden's great. So, no. But I still think the poll. Somebody made a comment yesterday. I heard somebody say that all of a sudden, a lot of the pollsters now stopped publishing over the last week or two. We're not seeing as many poll results because I think she's losing, and I think that they know she's losing, and I don't think anybody should be complacent. I'm not going to be.
Oh no, you can't be, because all you have to do is look at what's going on in North Carolina, and a bunch of Hill people that would likely be Donald Trump voters are going to have a very difficult time getting in there. You know, this election could be going one way or the other on a few thousand votes. Really, we just don't know yet. Okay, hey, your phone's cutting out on me, but Dave, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. 6:35. We will continue now. Wheels Up Wednesday with Eric Peters. He'll join me here in about 3-4 minutes.
Representative Kim Wallen is a strong advocate for Medford in our state capital. She knows that new laws work best when many perspectives are sincerely considered and all potential consequences are carefully navigated. She is dedicated to working with people of all viewpoints who are interested in finding the best solutions for the problems facing Medford. Kim was a diligent advocate for recriminalizing drug possession after the failed experiment of Measure 110. The new law is an important first step, but it will need additional language and funding before we will truly see results. Kim has the experience to address ongoing problems and restore health and safety in our neighborhoods.
I'm Kim Wallen, and I would be honored to continue serving as your state representative.
For a safer Medford, vote for Kim Wallen. Visit electkimwallen.com. Paid for by Friends of Kim Wallen.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. You have just shy of a week left to make sure that you're registered to vote for the November 5th general election. The deadline is next Tuesday. If you've moved, change your mailing address or name, you need to update your registration. Ballots can't be forwarded. Voter registration and updates can be completed online at OregonVotes.gov or go to your county elections office. The trial of Negasi Zuberi is underway. He's accused of abducting two women last year, taking them to his Klamath Falls home, and sexually assaulting them. The government is expected to call about 70 witnesses. Zuberi is being held in the Jackson County Jail. The trial in federal court in Medford is expected to last 3 weeks. Oregon voters routinely ranked public education tops of their collective priority list in previous polls, and wanted policymakers in Salem to deal with the problem. Well, in a new survey of 500 Oregon residents, only 2% identified education as a top concern, far below homelessness, mental health, and the cost of housing and living. Bill Lennon, KMED.
It's gutter season. The phones are ringing at Fontana Roofing's custom gutter division after the last downpour. We've been busy custom fabricating robust gutters on site in a choice of 30 colors guaranteed to survive the weight of falling water and space dust. So if your gutters need to be repaired or replaced, give Fontana a call before the wet weather sets in. We also install gutter covers, too, to keep those pesky leaves from clogging your downspouts. Visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Go with your gut. Your dog's immune system is based in the gut. A diet lacking in nutrients can cause itching, scratching, and a weak immune system. However, there is a solution. DINOVITE. DINOVITE.
It took a grand total of 2 weeks. The dog stopped itching, the hair stopped falling out.
Try DINOVITE for free. Just pay shipping and handling. Learn more at DINOVITE.com/radio.
Happier, healthier with every bite. Over a million pets helped with DINOVITE.
I'm Rick Dyer, Jackson County Commissioner. I've known Randy Sparacino for over 10 years, and I've watched Randy as a leader, as the chief of police for Medford and as Medford mayor, and worked with him on several issues that I know are important to the residents of Jackson County, and I trust his leadership. I'm Rick Dyer, and I support Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner.
Vote Randy Sparacino for Jackson County Commissioner. Paid for by Sparacino for Oregon, ID 20676.
This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED. Call Bill now, 541-770-5633. That's 770-KMED.
Because you'll get the opportunity to talk with Eric Peters. CPAutos.com, Eric Peters, automotive journalist. Great guy, deep thinker about all things transportation, politics, and all connected. How you doing this morning, Eric?
Oh, pretty good, Bill. Bear with me here. My zipper's stuck as I'm trying to put on my Wile E. Coyote fursona outfit.
We'll get into that story. I did tell people about the furry story. I was promoting that, but we got to get to that. I'm going to do the serious stuff first, and then we got to go into the delusional, okay?
Okay.
That's just too much, okay? You had a piece there that you just put up this morning on the appeal of communism. And yep. It does appear that you have Kamala superimposed in front of the red flag and the hammer and the sickle, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Blue is the new red.
Yeah, blue is the new red, indeed. By the way, how did the right wing ever get tagged with the color red?
I've never actually quite determined that. I've heard that there was one of the old school anchors, it might have been Peter Jennings or something, who did the old switcheroo at some point. In the 80s. But yeah, younger listeners will not probably recall that at one time blue was the color of Republicans. And a really good example of it was the 1980 or 84 election of Ronald Reagan, when the entire country was blue except for two red areas. One was Minnesota and one was the District of Columbia. Mm-hmm.
And red was always the color that was tagged with communism, the collectivism. You know, it always was.
Yeah, and I think it was a deliberate thing. I think that they wanted to disassociate communism from the Democratic Party. And now, back in 1984, it was arguable that they weren't communists. I think that argument holds less water today.
Okay. Well, speaking of which, by the way, over the last 4 years, we haven't heard a lot from Kamala Harris, although she was the border czar. But there was a question asked of her by the people on The View. And I'm sure you watch The View every day, right?
Every single day.
Good.
With a big bottle of Jim Beam right next to me.
Okay, you got that. This was the very hard-hitting question asked yesterday.
Would you have done something differently than President Biden during the past 4 years?
There is not a thing that comes to mind in terms of, and I've been a part of most of the decisions that have had impact.
But yet she's going to be the change agent, Eric. That's how she styles herself.
It's astonishing. But, you know, I think we make a mistake. I mean, people on our side in thinking that rational considerations apply. Rational people would hear that and go, wait a minute, she says a new direction or a different path or a new way forward, whatever the slogan is, that doesn't compute. The problem is that for the ideological hordes that are going to vote for her, it doesn't matter because she's sort of the avatar of communism for them.
The avatar. What is the appeal of communism overall, you think?
Well, for people like you and I, and I think for most psychologically normal people, there is no appeal to it. But I think for a lot of people who are poisoned by envy and their own sense of failure and ineptitude, and they feel that they can't move forward, that life is unfair, that they're never going to get a shot at anything. There's this infantile appeal to give it to me now. I want it now, like a little temper tantruming kid who wants his lollipop right now. Mm. They don't have a future time orientation. They just want their needs gratified right now. And they're not mentally mature enough to understand that there's a price tag that comes along with that. That there is, as Bob Heinlein said, one of my favorite science fiction writers, there is no such thing as a free lunch. And if somebody gives you something in that sense, somebody who's not your friend or your parent, let's say, there are going to be strings attached. And the string attached is that they control you, and they're only going to give you so much, and they're going to give it to you under certain conditions that you'll have to abide by. That's the essence of what communism is.
There was an article the other day that was in one of our local newspapers, and they were talking about high school students in Ashland, and they were very upset with the city council because they were not moving forward on, I'll put it in scary air quotes, climate action, you know, what we're getting at there. And I don't blame the kids. I really don't, because they have been, in essence, scared to death and inculcated by communists within the educational system for a long, long time. And this has been permitted to go unchecked, in which a friend and I were talking about this yesterday, in which, humans are the are the infection on the planet, right? You know, that kind of thing. Everything driving the climate change and the pollution controls and everything else right now in the EV, which you talk about so often, it's being driven by this this push that we are the infection somehow.
Yeah, and they have no frame of reference. You know, if we're talking about young people, college-age people today and younger, they've grown up in this miasma where the premise is simply accepted. You know, we saw it in the vice presidential debate where it wasn't that climate change was discussed. It was that climate change was agreed upon, and then, okay, what are we going to do about it? You know, and that, I think, is the fundamental problem with this. It's analogous to how young people are used to the gate rape that occurs when you try to fly. They have no frame of reference. They don't remember what it was like when you could just board a plane like a human being as opposed to being processed like a recently arrested felon.
As you continue to go down the team non-freedom, this is where, you know, and then everybody grows up in non-freedom or less freedom, and then they forget the better times. And even though I can't exactly say that we were perfectly free in the 1960s or 70s or 80s or something like that, but you and I, and people of our age and older, we remember a different time, don't we? We remember the before time.
Just in day-to-day life, it's almost inconceivable how much freedom we had versus how much control there is today. You know, just to go on a little bit of a tear, you could jump in your car. You didn't have to buckle up. You could drive to the airport 5 minutes, 10 minutes before your flight, run into the terminal, get on. As long as you made it before the door closed, you got in. You didn't even have to show ID. You just showed them your ticket, and that was it. You got on the plane and went.
Yeah.
They used to have shuttles that you could just hand the guy $100.
Hey, we used to go and accompany my father to the gate every time, mm-hmm. you know, to see him off at Cleveland Hopkins International back when we were a kid. And he was going off on business trips. It was not a big deal, not that big of a deal.
Yeah, and when you went to work, it was about work. It wasn't about your politics. You know, you weren't hectored and pestered to abide by any orthodoxies. You know, people actually talked about politics, and you may not have agreed on things, but it really didn't matter. What mattered was whether you did your job competently.
Yeah, and I was even thinking to, I know this may not necessarily be a positive aspect of that so-called freedom, but when I went back to my high school reunion Labor Day weekend, and I was back on those rural roads of Ohio, Eric, and I remember that I would be driving 100 to 110 miles per hour yep. on those, and I would do it routinely.
Yep.
And I'm not advocating that that was necessarily really smart of me, given that, hey, the cars then didn't really handle all that well. Fair enough? You know, they just didn't.
Fair enough, but you know, if the thing of it is, and I'm sure you'll agree with what I'm about to say, if you had been pulled over by a cop, he wouldn't have screamed at you with a gun drawn to get on the ground now, get on the ground now.
No, that's true.
Probably would have had a conversation about how fast you were going, and there was a good 50-50 shot that the cop might even have let you go. I experienced that many times back in the day.
Yeah, and we seem to be better at treating one another, although I will also admit, though, that we buried a couple of our classmates that were killed in drunk driving accidents, too, so...
Well, sure, but now they play video games and take fentanyl until they can't take it anymore and then blow their brains out.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, things like the mental health problems and the physical health problems that we have now, I think, carry with them a greater death toll than the incidental accidents that occurred back when we were in high school.
I think the cult of safetyism has caused more deaths than it's ultimately saved. Oh, I think that's really where we're going on this.
Yeah, and you know, now that you bring that up, fundamentally, really, this is about who gets to decide. You know, this is all about risk-reward calculations. And it used to be that emancipated adults were left free to make their own risk-reward calculations. Now, the government, which is just these busybody people, you know, we use the term government as if it's an entity, but it's just busybody people with legal power to compel you to do things.
Kind of like the clipboard Nazis in the Homeowners Association, right? That
yes,
kind of thing?
Exactly. It's insufferable. You've got these busybodies, and it's all arbitrary. You know, they make you buckle up for safety. Well, why not make people wear helmets, too?
Yeah, and why not make them go 2 miles per hour because 55 is unsafe? All right. Hey, we'll be right back with more. We got to get into the furry car culture, though, okay?
Okay.
I have to make sure that we don't miss out on time for this. So if you want to get in touch with Eric, talk with him, 770-5633. Eric will be right back. Furry car culture is just too good to be missed this morning on The Bill Myers Show.
Need a new metal roof? Call or text today. Get a quote tomorrow. It's that simple. Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. On-site, custom-cut metal roofing. Stephen Westfall Roofing gets it done. 941-3736.
CCB number 750730.
Joel here from Motherford and Truck Center, and I got a couple unbeatable Joel specials on Ford trucks this month. Number one special is an all-new F-150 4x4 for only $377 a month. It's a 36-month lease, which means you get to drive it for 3 years, come back, and trade it in on a new one for only $377 a month for a Ford F-150 4x4. Hey, pay a little more per month, and you can supersize your Ford truck to an F-350 four-wheel drive diesel. That's only $555 a month for a 36-month lease, and that's my second truck special this month. When you think Ford, I want you to think Butler Ford. Come down and see me in Ashland, because no one knows how to make a better deal on a new Ford F-150 Super Duty or SUV than me. That's probably why Butler Ford is the highest Google-rated Ford dealership in Oregon. Butler Ford and Truck Center, just 12 short minutes down the freeway in Ashland, right off of exit 19, where we got your truck, your SUV, your certified pre-owned, and super low payment.
36-month leases with $7,500 cash or trade to a signing, excluding tax, license, title, $250 dealer dock fee on stock numbers 598.35 and selling price of $51.72 and stock number 59.809 and selling price of $69.710. After all rebates and discounts on approved credits and Ford Motor Finance, see dealer for details.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
10 before 7, Eric Peters, automotive journalist at EP Autos, Wheels Up Wednesday. All right, Eric. We've had talk around the school systems, and various parents would call, and people would say, oh my gosh, did you, you know, the furries are coming in government schools, and I don't know how much of this is true, how much is a little bit of play acting. They've never been able to confirm it, but we'd hear all sorts of crazy stuff with people dressing up or pretending to be animals, and they'd have little costumes. And then other people would say, hey, they were putting litter boxes in the restroom. I've never been able to confirm anything that crazy. But, you know, in End Times Republic, it's come to car culture, the furries, the crazy people dressing up as animals, right?
Yeah, well, it's, I think, a natural progression or I won't even try.
Okay.
A natural progression of the normalization of craziness that began in 2020 when pathological hypochondria was normalized as a reasonable behavior to engage in all of these bizarre kabuki rituals because there's a phantom boogeyman in the air. So it's interesting to me that shortly thereafter we got this tsunami of men who insist that they're actually women because they wear women's clothing and they adopt women's mannerisms.
Yeah, and they go into the girls' bathrooms, that kind of thing. Right.
So, you know, if you accept that or if you're made to accept that, well, why not accept that somebody's a furry? That they're a dog or a cat, or they're an animatronic archetype of some kind from a video game. They put on that outfit, and you know, you bark and woof and whatever you do, and it's a real thing, and it has now permeated car culture apparently, and that's what the article's about. There are car meets now where people come to show their cars, but they're dressed up as their favorite animatronic character.
Seriously,
and these are grown up people. These are adults doing this, and as we were talking a little bit about off the air. It's not just that it's deviant, it's also infantilized. It's like when you're a kid, you pretend you're a dinosaur when you're a little kid, and that's okay because kids have imaginations and they're play acting. But it's like a regression to that state where these adults want to go back to being kids and pretend that they are something that they're not.
And it's kind of like they're taking their diaper off and spreading the excrement on the wall in some
ways.
Yeah,
it is. It really is. You know, there's something, I don't know, I react to it viscerally, maybe just because I grew up in a time when this sort of thing, if you saw it, would be like, what is that? Like, I've been reviewing cars for 30 years now, and if I had shown up, this is back when I worked in Washington, if I had shown up at the GM or Ford garage in downtown D.C. where they kept the press cars dressed like Wile E. Coyote, they would have called a car for me, all right, a car to the nut house.
Exactly. And by the way, you even brought up a great cartoon, an old Looney Tune, Napoleon Bonaparte. You know, back in the days when we remember growing up, people would pretend to be Napoleon Bonaparte, and they were just taken to the loony bin. You know, it's the way it was, or they thought they were Cleopatra, you know, whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff that we
pretty
much
understood that the person was crazy. I mean, it was almost, what you would call, I guess, a meme today. Somebody walking around wearing that hat and calling themselves Le Emperor. Well, they're obviously crazy. Call the men with the nets and take them off to the funny farm. But now we're actually supposed to play along with this.
Well, it's because they've closed the funny farms, though, for the most part. And now we're thinking that the highest form of I guess, mental health-affirming care is to just let people be mentally ill on the streets. That's what we do in the United States these days.
The funny farm is now the entire country, and it's the normal people who are the weirdos.
I know. So how deep is furry car culture inculcating, or how deep is this going right now? I mean, so there are car meets going up, and people really are. Is there a lot of this going on? Because
there's
I have yet to have seen it.
A fair amount of this going on, and it's a phenomenon that particularly affects, again, the younger crowd. There are some YouTubers and some influencers and various other people that are involved in this, and the people who go to these shows, again, are typically younger people, because older people would just not do that, you know, except on Halloween. It's fine to go to a, you know, Halloween party dressed as whatever, but these people actually, their personas, that's their personality, and that's the way they live their lives.
Now, that wasn't a mistake. Their fursona. Right?
That's their term. That's not mine. I didn't make it up. That's what they say.
Okay, their fursona. Wonderful. Anyway, the article is Furry Car Culture. I was reading that the other day and said, I can't wait to talk with you about that, Eric, because we've dealt with some of that in the school systems for sure. Let me grab a line here. Hi, you're on with Eric Peters. Who's this? Good morning.
Good morning. This is Jerry.
Hey, Jerry. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to call in a prediction, basically. I predict that next year, 2025, will be the collapse of the battery vehicle industry.
Huh. Is that a reasonable prediction, you think, Eric?
No, I think it will be the collapse of the car industry. It's already on the ropes. I actually just published an article a couple of hours ago about this. Volkswagen, Stellantis, which is the owner of the Dodge, Ram, Jeep, and Chrysler brands, a number of other brands, are in really, really bad shape.
Really?
Nissan is in terrible shape. And it all has to do with this EV push. And, you know, this has already been set in motion. It has effectively collapsed in the sense that people aren't buying them, but the malinvestment has been made, and now the consequences are going to be reaped.
And one of the by the way, thank you for that call. It's interesting because you did write that article about this. The challenge with this this collapse of the, I mean, he's right that the demand for EV has collapsed. There's no doubt. He's about that.
Even Tesla is having problems selling vehicles at this point.
But what has not collapsed, though, is the force feeding of subsidies and the force feeding of the mandate. That has not collapsed at this point, even though people are not necessarily wanting to buy them. And even if they wanted to change their product line around, this is something which takes several years. I mean, don't they plan this like 7 to 10 years in advance, Eric?
Yes, because it takes about 4 years from the time that a new model is on the drawing board to proof the concept, to flesh it out, to get the tooling going, to prototype it, to test it, and then to get it to the dealer network. So, yeah, it takes about 4 years. And the only way that this is going to end is if by some miracle the orange man, let's say he gets elected, and somehow, and I don't know how he would do this, simply ends all of the mandates that are effectively mandating battery-powered vehicles.
And that would also mean that, well, that could be a problem for California, because California has mandated that this moves forward anyway, and Oregon to a lesser extent also, right?
Yeah, you know, but at least at the federal level, if, again, by some miracle, Trump could repeal the federal mandates, then the auto industry could be free to tell California, essentially, well, okay, fine, we're just going to stop selling vehicles in your market. Good luck with that. Have fun.
And then, of course, Tesla, everything will be a Tesla or a Rivian or something like that.
And then they'll have to change, because at the end of the day, you know, the majority of Californians, like the majority of people everywhere else, just can't afford to spend $40,000 to $50,000 at the low end on a battery-powered car.
Yeah. What's the latest vehicle that you reviewed here that is worthy of talking about?
Something kind of interesting. I haven't got the thing up yet, but it's about the Audi A7. Are you familiar with it?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
It's interesting in that it's about the same size as a BMW 5 Series or a Mercedes E, but it's more practical because it's a hatchback, so it's got about twice the room in the back for cargo, which actually makes it a viable family car. I like the Mercedes E and the BMW 5, but they have really small trunks, and that makes it hard to have one of those things if you've got a family, for instance. And the other thing that's nice about it is that it comes standard with a V6, and as you and I have talked about before, most of the other mid-sized luxury sedans now come with a 2.0-liter four-cylinder engine.
I know. Well, six cylinders now, that's a luxury vehicle, right?
Well, and there we get to the hair in the soup. The base price for the A7 is $72,000.
Oh.
And for that amount of money, in the not-too-distant past, you used to get a V8, but at least you don't get a 4.
Exactly. Yeah, the standard turbocharged 2-liter, right? It almost seems to be like there. In fact, there should be just one engine factory. That's all you need for everybody, right? 2 liters.
Well, it's getting to that point. You know, the BMW 5 and the Mercedes E, and they're not the only ones. They have 2.0-liter fours that make exactly the same 255 horsepower. So, you know, really, there is no meaningful difference anymore.
Yeah. I'm understanding, though, that they're starting to see more and more problems with lack of durability on these smaller engines. Are you noticing that, too?
Oh, yeah. Well, absolutely. They're overstressed. They're overcomplex, which is probably the more significant problem. You know, they've had to do things like direct inject them, turbocharge them, of course, intercool them, add mild hybrid systems. Just they're piling on one system after the next onto these things. And the more complex you make something, it's just a general axiom that it makes it more failure prone as time goes by.
I watch a lot of engine teardown videos with various mechanics. I like that too, along with watching your kind of videos, right? I do it all. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I've come to the conclusion of, sorry, I'm tripping over my tongue this morning.
I did it too.
Yeah, is I cannot buy a 3-cylinder car. I just will not buy a 3-cylinder car. I'm not seeing any of them that are having any great reports about durability. You're taking, you know, it was bad enough that you were on a 4-cylinder, then you go down to a 3-cylinder and you put a nice big turbo boost on it and lots of stress, and you're trying to make it light, you know, for weight issues and all this. And I'm sorry, they're just coming apart from what I can tell. And especially,
sure, and that's why I'd like to give a plug to Mazda. You know, Mazda, I think, is the only manufacturer that still puts appropriately large 4-cylinder engines in most of its cars. They're typically 2.5, not 2.0 liters, and they don't need a turbo. They make close to 200 horsepower, and they're understressed. They're really great. They will go and go and go. If you don't, you know, deliberately abuse it, those are engines that will go 200,000 miles, like we used to have.
Yeah. Now, another vehicle that we have to have a special concern about, those 3-cylinder, there are Ford and other manufacturers that have been building engines with wet timing belts that actually go into the oil, and they require special oil. And if you don't use the special oil, this timing belt, and by the way, it's timing belt and a oil pump belt. Yeah,
it's all wonderful,
and it's wet, and I just can't believe that this would be considered a great design plan. Now, I know belts
are... Well, it is a great design plan. It generates a lot of repair business, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, except that it's probably putting Ford in the financial grave because they've had to do a lot of warranty, you know, on these things.
It may as time goes on. But, you know, I will say this to people listening because I think it's not very well known. Most modern cars, particularly import cars, do have timing belts, and it is a regular service item and a critical service item, and a lot of people don't realize that. They just keep driving, and in some cases, if you do that and that belt fails, if you have what's called a crasher or an interference engine where the internal parts are freewheeling and not synchronized, they smash into each other, and your engine is destroyed as a result of that.
Yeah, and that's what's been happening with many of these vehicles that have the wet timing belt. They require a special type of oil that is less injurious to the life of the belt. But it's better. And of course, that oil is very difficult to find for the most part.
Sure. And what if, you know, over time the oil deteriorates? I'm sure it's extremely sensitive, the materials that the belt is made of, to having fresh, clean oil. So, you know, if you've forgotten to change the oil gets contaminated or is somewhat contaminated. And ordinarily, that wouldn't be a big deal. You might have some dirty oil in the car, change the oil. But in this case, it might result in a catastrophic engine failure.
But you just go, whoever thinks that this is the great idea, this is going to be our hot new trend that we're going to dip the belts and run them in oil all the time. It's like, I just can't believe that. That's the sort of stuff that just drives me nuts when I read about it, that there are actually engineers.
Because, you know, the ethos is no longer, hey, let's try to design this thing in the first place so that it lasts a really long time, and in the second place so that it's easy to service.
Right.
That ethos is largely out the window. There are still some exceptions, but by and large, it's all about how can we make this thing cheap to manufacture and cynically, frankly, well, how can we increase our business, either by repairing these parts when they fail or by selling this person a new vehicle?
So if it goes 100,000, 120, hey, we've done our job, right?
Mm-hmm.
That kind
of
thing. All right. Eric Peters with me. I'll grab one more call before we take off. Hi there. Who's this? Good morning. Welcome.
Oh, thank God I'm the one that you grabbed.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Vicki. Hey, Eric, I called
last week about our little Ford Courier that we bought for
a dollar? I remember, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're having an issue with the fuse box. My husband looked up, it's, I guess, a comparative parts place online, mm-hmm. and he ordered one, but it's the bolt holes don't add up. Line up, and on the original, there was spots where you didn't have any wires connected to the posts, the mm-hmm. little, you know, the fuse, the regular fuses. This one has, like, the little card fuses that you put in. Where can we find, like, original parts for this thing?
Now, I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand. Is this the defroster?
No, it's
the fuse box.
The fuse box.
Yeah.
The fuse box.
So I guess having difficulty finding a replacement that actually fits that, it's not right then. So, you know, where would you go find an original of something like
you
that?
You know, have you tried eBay?
No, we're not really techie. I just called in about cell phones earlier this morning.
Okay, well, you know, if you have a teenager or a young person who's willing to go onto eBay Motors specifically, you can
okay.
probably find a very good condition, exact replacement, used fuse box that will be exactly the same as the one you have that you can just, you know, plug right in. That's what I would recommend.
Yeah, because you definitely want to keep that Courier going. That's a gem. It really is.
Right.
Okay?
And what we're finding is with this other fuse box that my husband got for it, it will either not start. You can either have lights or you can have the fuel pump going so you can start it. You can't have both.
You know, Bill, if you want to give the caller my email, I'd be happy on my own time to look that up for her on eBay Motors and pass the information along to her. I'm 100% certain that that's a findable part.
All right. I'll tell you what, Vicki, I will find that information. I will give your information on to Eric, okay? We appreciate that. Eric, what are you going to be reviewing for next week here? And it better not have fur on it, okay?
You know, I've been trying to be a good boy and keep track of what's coming, but I haven't this week. So mea culpa. It's going to be a grab bag guess as to what's coming, and I'm praying and hoping that it's not an EV.
Okay. Well, I
can't take it. I need a respite.
I know for one thing though is that I'm even seeing young people that are starting to go back and enjoy the joy. Well, actually, get into the joy of the older vehicles that are actually repairable and that you can work on. It's interesting. I've seen more of that.
All you have to do is expose them. Like once they actually experience what it's like to drive one, the mm-hmm. light comes on, just like it did for you and I back when we were 14 and 15 years old.
Yeah. And I was joking with the listeners, but it's truly serious. When that Vanagon diesel, when I go into places and there are younger guys, they look at that thing like it's a naked woman. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, that's it. It's like, it's something you have to drive. It's something that can actually work and it's cool. And I tell them things that
you and I like gave not even a second glance to back in the day, like a Datsun B210.
Yeah,
saw one of those the other day. I was like, oh my gosh, what a cool little car!
Yeah, and they were great little cars, absolutely great little cars, and bulletproof with proper care. And so I think we're starting to revise some of that stuff. We appreciate your take always. epautos.com, epautos.com. Great thinking all over on transportation, politics, and more. Great commentary too. See you next week, Eric. Take care.
Thanks as always, Bill.
7 minutes after 7, this is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. And Supreme Court ended up having oral arguments the other day. Not the other day, it was just like yesterday. This having to do with ghost guns. Kevin Starrett calling in, and we'll talk with him about that in just a few minutes.